26th of October, 1994, Valerie Lee recording an interview with Marianne Hancocks. Right, now, can I call you Marianne?
You can, yes.
Do you mind telling me your full name?
Right, my full name's Audrey Marianne. It was Tolton, and now it's Hancock. I'm known as Marianne, and I changed it from Audrey to Marianne in my teenage years because I preferred it. Mm-hmm. But when I was a child, I was always known as Audrey. And I was born at 32 Hartington Road in the Highfields area in 1948. And in 1994, that makes me 46.
Can you remember the house?
I can remember the house. It was a terraced house. The Victorian age, I don't know how old it would be now. It was a large three-storied house. It had a scullery with a stone enamel sink and a copper boiler and a boiler stick that my mother always used to prod the copper boiler with, which always used to boil all over the floor. All the walls were in that kind of green gloss paint that you got halfway up, and then a beigey brown gloss paint halfway down. But next to the scullery was the kitchen itself, which is where you would have breakfast, and there was a gas fire. And musty built-in cupboards. Next to, leading from the kitchen, you've got the hall and the living room, which was there two living rooms, a front room and then a living room, or just the front room. There was one room that was a best room, and you couldn't go in there because it's if people came round. But I've got a feeling there was another room too. Funnily enough, I can't quite remember that. Then upstairs, there were three good-sized but very, very cold bedrooms, because there was, of course, no central heating. And you could scratch the ice off the windows on the inside in the morning of a winter. There were three good-sized bedrooms, and then there was the attic above that. And there were very steep, winding, narrow stairs, especially leading up to the attic. Outside there was a backyard with a shed and an outside toilet, only an outside toilet, not an inside toilet, an outside toilet, and then a coal shed. And as I say, a backyard with just a tiny little bit of garden area that my mother treasured, and we mustn't throw the balls on it. We couldn't want to make sure that the balls didn't go on the garden area, but otherwise it was just slabbed, very, very creaky, broken, uneven slabs.
You know, you said you had an outside toilet.
Yeah.
Did it ever freeze up in the winter?
Yes. It was always lagged. It was Dad's job to lag it, and then there was all sorts of bits of old blanket tied to the pipes in the winter. But it did invariably freeze over in the winter. It's not a trauma that comes to mind as being an annual disaster. Not. I think we must have had perhaps a little free sunny paraffin or something. That rings a bell, because whenever I smell paraffin, that takes me right back to childhood. So I've got a feeling there were paraffin heaters in the downstairs outside loo, because we all had pots, chamber pots as well in those days. But by the time I was about 10 or 11, which would be 1958-59, we had a bathroom. How did we have the bathroom fitted? If there was three bedrooms, did we have a bedroom changed into a bathroom? Couldn't have done that. Isn't it funny how I keep going to the next house that we moved to in my mind? Maybe we never did have a bathroom in that house. I know that when I was a child, it was considered a lovely safe area to play in, although I was sexually assaulted on Spinney Hill Park in about 1952-3. Generally, it was considered a very safe area to live in. But when I was 13... which would be then 1950-odd, 51, it was becoming a little bit of an unfavourable area, and there was elements of violence and anxieties around. And if I used to go out at that age, as I did at 13, I had to carry a whistle with me and be home by 9 o'clock. But one morning, I came downstairs to find my mother in a state of distress and some policemen in the house, and there'd been apparently an incident which I'd slept quite through, where an Irishman had thrown a prostitute through our living room, front room window, and another Irishman had got hold of another prostitute and banged her head up and down on the pavement outside and caused a serious injury. I was never really told much in those days. I was just told to go to school. But within 6 months, we'd left. I think my mother had wanted to leave for ages, but my father had to be pushed by some diabolical incident to actually get himself to be motivated to do it. But that did it, and we went.
Can you go back? You said you didn't have a bathroom. Can you remember where you bathed when you were very young?
I did have a bathroom because my dad would dry me. Did we just have a bathroom and not a loo then? Could that have been it? Because, oh yeah, definitely I used to have a bath on a Sunday night. You used to have one once a week then. And it was invariably on a Sunday night, ready for school the next day. My father used to have an allotment on Freeman's Common, which is now industrial estate area. And we used to go there on a Sunday, and I would get very dirty, so that would, again, be a good reason for having the bath on the Sunday evening. But always, my dad would scoop me out and sit me on his knee and dry me and give me a story, a made-up story, which I insisted about this fictitious little girl called Pom Pom.
Let's go back again.
Yeah, sure.
You've got brothers and sisters.
Yes.
Can you tell me where you fitted into the family?
I was the youngest of four. David is 10 years older than me and now lives in Canada. So he was born in 1938. My sister is 8 years older than me, born in 1940 and now lives in Holland. And my brother is 5 years older than me and lives in Wigston. So I was the youngest of four and a mistake, but the best mistake they ever made, so we used to go. As times were hard then, a large family was sometimes a financial worry, so, you know, it wasn't really a very easy time for them. I was born very, very small, just over £5, and I was a home delivery, and I was of that weight where it was dubious whether I needed to be taken into hospital for my weight to be built up, as far as I understand. But no, they kept me there, and of course, you know, caught up eventually. Yeah. Although some could say I haven't. So yes, I'm the youngest of four. I was the only one out of the four of us to go to St Saviour's School. Being the youngest of four, everything was done for me. They were all very loud, noisy, especially my eldest brother and my sister. They were quite capable, intelligent, and managing. Brother and sister. My other brother, he suffered a lot with his health, but that took up a lot of my mother's time as well. And somewhere along the line, I became very, very timid and withdrawn, and allowed my eldest brother and sister to do everything for me. This meant by the time I was about four and a half, there was no way I could cope with a busy school like Charnwood Street Junior School or Junior and Infant School. I couldn't have coped with it. So my parents decided that it would be a good idea for me to go to St Saviour's Church School, because it was a very small school, very cosy, very safe and quite informal. One of the things I had to do, as I said to you, was one of my fears was that my knickers would fall down, and that was a very, very genuine, serious fear, and I had to have them pinned to a liberty bodice to cope with that. But my whole life at that time was filled with anxieties, and my mother used to had a word with the teachers and explained that I had this almost a psychological problem, as it was then. And they were particularly kind. It was a lovely little school, tiny little classrooms, each with its individual desk, as you did have then, individual desk and chair. But there was less of that, some of the severe discipline that you got as a junior school. There was quite severe discipline at Charles Street Junior School. I remember one incident, because I couldn't do my multiplication tables, being told to stand on either the chair or the desk, and everybody in the class was told to laugh at me. Fortunately, they didn't like doing that, so some of them didn't laugh. But that was Mr. Eaton that did that. And some of the discipline in the rough and tumble life at Charnwood Street was quite hard. But at St Saviour's, there was none of that. In fact, for my fifth birthday, Miss Dead gave me five Smarties. And there was a lot more warmth there. I think there was just the 2 years, and maybe only a class for each year. Although it was St. Saviour's Church School, I don't remember being allied to the church in any way. The playground...
You didn't have to attend a Sunday school?
No, you didn't have to attend a Sunday school in any way. Although I had occasionally attended Sunday school, it seems a very spasmodic, sparse recollection, as if it was only once in a blue moon. And I don't know whether that was anything to do with that school or not. I didn't stay for school dinners. I don't even know whether there was a facility for staying for school dinners. I can't remember the smell of school dinners. Obviously, I can remember that little bottle of milk that everybody had. Mm. And I remember losing my biscuits down the toilet and going into the staff room because I was crying so much. And Miss Stead, the teacher, put her arm around me. And when I told her what the problem was, she took me into the staff room and I had a staff cup of tea and two staff biscuits, which was a huge privilege. Mm.
Can you remember... let's take it from the start of your school day. Do you know what time you had to be in school?
No, I was only 4 and a half. I suspect I wouldn't have been able to tell the time. Mm. So I don't know. I do remember going home at lunchtime and walking up St. Saviour's Road, down Beaumont Street, and my dad would be coming home for lunch on his bicycle at that time, and we'd kind of meet just on the Beaumont Street stretch, and I would sit on his crossbar bit, a little proper little seat thing. I don't know if it's proper little seat thing at 4 and a half or not. And I remember how bumpy it was, because it was all cobbled streets. It must have been a real bone-shaker experience riding your bike in those days.
Were all the streets cobbled?
Yeah, I think so. Yes, because when you played marbles, you couldn't play marbles right in the street because the cobbles had sent you marble shooting in all sorts of directions. So you had to use the pavement. But I also remember the smell of tar. So there must have been either repair jobs, or were they tarring them at that age? Because what you'd do when the tar was, if it had been sunny, you'd pick the tar up, make it into a little ball and mould it, and that was quite nice. The smell of it was quite nice too. But I don't remember it being a tarmac road. When they tarmacked it, I really don't know. I only remember the cobbles.
So, right, you've got into school.
I've got into school.
The first part of your school day. Can you remember, did you have assembly?
We had small assemblies, yes. Yes, because I can remember at the end of the day that you had one at the beginning of the day and at the end of the day you had it as well. We would have an assembly. I cannot remember the name of the headmaster. All I'm impressed with is how small everywhere was, how few children there were. For some reason or other, I remember Harvest Festival, where we ploughed the fields and scatter. Why I remember that, I don't know. I remember the names of the children there.
For Harvest Festival, did everybody bring... crops, food.
Yes,
vegetables.
Your mum or dad had been told to bring something to contribute towards the harvest festival. And my father had an allotment, so I brought lots of pears. I remember that.
Have you got any idea what happened to the food?
No. I don't know. Almost perhaps as if we shared and we went home with different people's. Like, if you'd got a huge pear tree, so all you took was a pound or 2 pounds of Louis Bon pears, and somebody else had got a glass house where they grew lettuce, as if it was mixed about. But I really can't remember that accurately. I don't remember it being taken anywhere, as if we were all in the same kind of level of hardship, and it was charitable to share it between us. I feel as if that's what happened at that time. So I don't remember any sort of charitable awareness of other people or other organisations in hardship. It was always a community where everybody helped each other, but the community was closed within that area.
Yeah,
I just remember my co-op number, 10589, because every now and again you'd go to the co-op. There was still, some people had ration books, and if you didn't have ration books, you still had your co-op number, and you only allocated a certain amount of something or other a week. So what I'm saying is that you shared between the community. There was a lot of help between the community.
Where was your co-op shop?
I went down the hill. At the bottom of Hartington Road, there's an area called Five Ways. It's probably still called Five Ways. And somewhere there was a co-op, and I used to go down there, and if my mother would send me down there to get something or other.
Can you remember the shop?
No, the number 10589. No, I can remember. And easier, I can remember on Vulcan Road, which is if you go up Hartington Road, as you go towards the top of Hartington Road, it goes into an apex with Vulcan Road, so that the houses in the top half of Hartington Road actually link through. So your front door's on Hartington Road, but your back door is on Vulcan Road. As you go further down Hartington Road, the triangle widens, so that they then sort of end-to-ended houses. But we lived at the top, 32 in this instance, was quite high up, so we had the front door on Hartington Road, and the back gate came out on Vulcan Road, and opposite that you had Prothero's, which was a general store, and it became Dexter's, or the other way around, it was Dexter's and became Prothero's. That was the shop I can remember quite clearly. At the top, at the very apex of Hartington Road and Vulcan Road, there's a fish and chip shop. And outside the fish and chip shop, there always lay a big Alsatian or German Shepherd dog, a big white one, and his name, imaginatively, was called Snowy. And and if you went in there for fish and chips, you could always be sure to have a quick fondle of Snowy the Alsatian lying outside there. I remember that.
Did you buy fish and chips often?
No.
It was a treat.
I don't know. I just know we didn't have fish and chips often. Perhaps it would have been a treat. My mother did a lot of cooking when the four of us were at home, which meant six of us, of course, around the table. That she did a lot of cooking, and I can just remember the smells from the cooking.
Did your mother go out to work?
No.
She was there all the time.
She was there all the time, yes, yes. I can remember that. I don't think mums tended to go out to work in those days. Of course, there wasn't a washing machine, just this copper boiler. And she did a lot of washing. And if you came home from school and you could see the back door was open, it meant that the copper had boiled over again and the water had gone everywhere and flooded the scullery house. I remember that. And the stick that she banged the copper boiler, the washing in with, was the stick that we had if we were poorly, if we had measles and we were upstairs, because it was, being an older house, you couldn't hear if you shouted, and it was quite soundproof. So if we were poorly, we had this, we borrowed this copper boiler stick, and we'd bash on the floor if we wanted attention. I remember that.
You said that you can remember the shop Prothero's or Dexter's.
Yes.
Can you describe it as if you were going into the front door?
It had fruit outside, and once I stole a strawberry. I remember that, and she caught me, and she said, "Oi!" And I ran off. But so obviously it sold fruit, and it displayed it outside. Inside, very dark. But it was a general grocer's, sort of soap powder, tins of this, that and the other. That sort of shop, general grocery store with fruit on the outside.
With a counter?
Yes.
And a till?
Yes. Yes. It was something very small. Everything I can remember I'm looking up to all the while. Mm. Yeah. But there was a counter and a till. I can remember that, the big old till that made bing-bang-bing noises as you pressed the keys down. Yeah. That was on the corner of Morley Road and Vulcan Road. The road running parallel to Morley Road is Beaumont Street. That was the cobbled one that I walked along back home from St Saviour's School. And that my dad had picked me up on his bicycle.
Do you remember any other shops along there? Was there a baker's?
Mainly it was at Five Ways. You'd go down to Five Ways. And, of course, for a lot of shopping, you would go to Charnwood Street, where you had everything under the sun. There was Allen's Livestock, which was the pet store, because I had mice, and I would buy my mice from there. In fact, when I had too many mice, because they're breeding, I would go back to Allen's Livestock and give them back again. There was Paddy Swag's shop, which was every kid's dream, because it was absolutely full of toys. Full, like an Aladdin's cave full of knick-knacks and toys. Uh, That's definitely the main Alan's Livestock and Paddy's gift shop. Paddy Swag Shop, that was what it was called, wasn't it? Yeah. Of course, it was a post office. Although it was full of shops, I think they were rather boring, the food shops, the butchers and the bakers. Obviously, sweet shops weren't so bad, but on the whole, the food shops don't come to mind. The ones that come to my mind are the ones that were of personal interest, which is the pet shop and the toy shop.
Yeah. Where did your mum buy your clothes?
She made them. We didn't buy clothes. In the summer, I could have about two... She would make me two new summer dresses, and I could choose the fabric, and to some extent I could choose the design, because we come from a tailoring family on both sides, and a lot of that has been passed down, and my mother's dressmaking skills were really quite second to none. And although she would work basically from a pattern, if I had some fanciful ideas, she would accommodate these. So I would choose the fabric and tell her what I wanted, and I would have two new dresses in the summer. I can't remember buying them. I remember I wanted black patent shoes with a strap and a button, and my mum wouldn't let me. I had to have Clark sandals. Invariably, and I remember buying the shoes, obviously. Bought those.
Were they on Charnwood? Was that on Charnwood Street?
Couldn't tell you. I really don't know. I just know they were Clark sandals. I think living where we did, if you walk down Nedham Street, you're on Humberston Road, and from the Humberston Road you can walk quite quickly to town. We didn't have a car. I say that, in actual fact, there was a time we did have a car for a short period of time, but most of what I remember, we didn't. But we could have walked to town, or Charnwood Street, or locally, and I wouldn't remember necessarily where I got things from, because it would be the same way of getting there.
When you said you could choose the fabric for your dresses, where did you buy it? Can you remember the draper's shops that you bought it in?
No, I can't remember. I can remember the fabric.
Yeah.
Again, not buying it. I remember the sort of fabric I wanted and seeing it and desperately wanting that fabric. And I can see that now, that one had one with all red heart, white fabric with lots of red hearts on. I really wanted that and I had it. There's a photograph here from when I'm at Charnwood Street Junior School, and I remember that dress vividly, her buying the fabric. And I'd been to see seen a picture book of the Walt Disney thing with Snow White, and I wanted the dress to look like this particular picture I'd got in my mind. And I made my mother, I think there were about 16 or 20 buttons sewn all the way down the front, and it went into an apex, and there was quite a full skirt then coming out from it, which she made for me. But you can see, even on this photograph, the Clark sandals. Yeah. And there, the Clark sandals, even at St. Saviour's Infant School. But I really wanted those black patent ones.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to St. Saviour's now. Can you remember any of your classes? Can you remember learning to read?
I can remember learning to read. I can remember the big lined paper and wax crayons, and I can smell wax crayons now and go back to them. We must have learnt to write with wax crayons, which seems funny. I remember doing the letter A, so I loved writing. I loved it. It was my favourite thing. Doing the letter A again and again and again. I don't remember being taught in an italic way, whether that was fading out by then. And I don't remember fountain pen and ink either at that particular time. Just wax pens and small pieces of writing paper where we do the letter A and the letter B and the letter C. And I remember Janet and John books. That's what I started to read. I went when I was about 4 and a half. I started quite young at St. Saviour's Infant School. And we started off learning to read, and we started off with the Janet and John books. Janet and John book one, Janet and John book two. I firstly remember the words Janet goes to the park, John goes to the park, and I can remember those, finishing the one book and then going on to the second book. So yes, we learnt to read and write. I don't remember arithmetic, but that's not surprising. Although it's never been an area that stuck in my mind.
Did you play organised games at school?
In the playground we played Tick Off Ground and Kiss Chase. I remember that. There was one girl called Mari Machen, And Muriel Jackson, and my major and my friend, Muriel Jackson and I, we didn't like each other, and we were enemies, and we had gangs, my people in my gang and people in her gang, and we fought at playtime. And Maury Machen was in my enemy's gang, but really we liked each other. Make sure we fought, and what we would do is fight very gently and just keep winking at each other. But Muriel Jackson and I eventually made friends, and we found a stray dog. And what we would do is we'd meet early before school, or even on a Saturday maybe, I don't know. And we'd go to Alan's Livestock on Charnwood Street and buy some dog biscuits. And we called this dog Kim. Don't know what his dog's name was. I think he probably had a good thing going, actually. And he would wait for us before going into school or something around school, and we would give him a dog biscuit. I don't know. I think there was a simple thing then about St. Saviour's School. So Miss Stead was very nice. Miss Dorrit wasn't so nice. I didn't think she was, at any rate. Miss Stead was a very loud, booming, but open-hearted woman, whereas Miss Dorrit was more pinched and mean and controlled.
What about, it was church school. What about at Christmas time and Easter time? Did the school mark them in any way?
As you say that, something comes to mind, being in a nativity play and singing, "We rock you, rock you." This was definitely St. Saviour's Infant School. And I remember the huge fear that I've still got because I was singing this and there were parents watching. And the magic of Christmas, the enormous magic of Christmas that only a small child can have. Apart from that bit of "We Will Rock You" and this nativity, I've got a vision of this nativity scene in the school. I can't recall an awful lot more than that.
Right, so you stayed there until you were
seven.
Yes. And then you moved
to... And then I had to move. I had no choice. I had to move to Charnwood Street Junior School because St. Saviour's was only a church infant school. So then I moved into Charnwood Street Junior School.
How did you find the change?
Very, very traumatic. It was much bigger because there were 4 years going from 7 to 11, and most of those in that class at 7 had been in Charnwood Street Infant School. So I was actually traumatised by starting all over again. But I quickly fell in love with a little boy called Ian Vincent, who was sitting at the front. And that quite took over. I really was warm to his face. And I also met another girl called Caroline Freeman. And I know it's going to be taped, but it's not relevant. But funnily enough, I haven't seen her for years and years and years and years, since these days. And I work at Beaumont Leys Library, and she came in, and I recognised her instantly the other week. And I said, "Excuse me, is it Caroline Freeman?" And she looked at me and said, "Yes." I said, "Charnwood Street Junior School." And she said, "Oh, my goodness, yes." So we had a little chat there. And she hadn't changed at all. And she became my closest friend then, Caroline Freeman did. And she fell in love with Stephen Cornish. And it is actually quite important because this love affair business seemed to carry me through in those days. The schooling, I don't remember an awful lot of, except Mr. Eaton, who took us for arithmetic and having to learn the times table parrot fashion. And what they would do in those days is they would dot the questions, actually, like, you know, ordering 6 7s or whatever, and John 5 4s. And I remember getting it wrong every time. And Mr. Eaton said that I was a dunce. I was to stand on the desk, and everybody in the classroom was to turn around and laugh at me and look at that dunce. So I had to stand on the chair or the desk, and everybody had to laugh at me, which they didn't do wholeheartedly. But there was quite a bit of cruelty. I don't know if it was me or not, but it was a difficult time. That was a school that we worked right through to 11 and took our 11 plus there. And from there, children went to either grammar schools like Wiggiston or Collegiate, or the local secondary modern school was Dale. I failed my 11 plus but didn't go to Dale. I went to Crown Hills.
Do you remember any special events at Charnwood Street School?
No, I didn't like the schooling. I only remember making my own life there, my own friends there. The actual schooling aspect of it, I don't like remember participating in Christmas nativity things, because I would say I wasn't happy at that particular school, although I made some good friends. That's why when I say I fell in love, that seemed to be more important than the 3 hours at that time. And also, Carolyn Freeman and I, we found a hole in some floorboards in the cloaks room, because you would go in and hang your coat in his cloaks room. And we found a hole, and somebody had shoved something in this hole, an old exercise book, and we kept trying to excuse ourselves from class, making out we wanted to go to the toilet, and all we would be doing is trying to get this paper out of this hole, which was really mind-bogglingly boring. And yet that stands out more than the 3 hours for some reason.